guys get real. You know, real guys talk real sports. He will. Ray, Marcus, game changer. Start to get real. These are the kind of guys I need to have in the locker room. The championship type guys. Third guy, you just gotta recognize I gotta pay the money, I gotta keep it. Everybody has an opinion.
They came with so much bravado and so much swagger.
We'll make excuses. We're not gonna make excuses. Sometimes you gotta create space where there's no space.
I can't argue with LeBron with this.
I do have a bit of a problem with execution. Right?
He burned it. A lot of bridges. He's gonna be hated in Chicago. He's gonna be hated in Cleveland. He's gonna be hated in New York. And that's what I'm excited to see.
I blame it on Nintendo. I blame it on the fact that they never played against a team that's gonna be as dominant as this team could be.
The true villain team. The team that everybody wants to smack in the mouth every time they play them. Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports. Your man Marcus, the game changer, here with you on a Tuesday night. I got my man Z Wills. Holla at the people.
What's up, folks? A happy Merry Christmas, and I hope everybody's going to have a great new year coming in here. So,
Merry Christmas.
One more week.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. I hope you had a joyous holiday. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you spent some time with your family, and I hope you had a real good time. We're gonna have a real good time. I know I had a good time, man. How about
you? We gotta say a happy belated birthday to you too. So, you know,
appreciate
turn that mile on. I'm sorry I couldn't hang out with you, but we're gonna try and do it this week and next week. So,
we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I turned 30 over this. On the 23rd, you know, turned 30, 30th birthday, you know, very reflective birthday, you know, looking back on a lot of things, the last 10 years in particular, you know, one of my brothers asked me a real insightful question. You know, he asked me to give him my top 10 moments of the last 10 years of my 20s, basically. For me, that was basically my 20s. So it was a real thought-provoking question. It took me a moment to answer it. But, you know, there were definitely 10 things that really stood out over that stretch of time. 9/11, going to college, getting married, buying a house, all of those things, all those, you know, milestones that people usually go through. My 20s was nice to me. Hopefully my 30s be just as nice. You know, I feel like I'm getting better, you know, aging like a fine wine, you know, so can't be mad.
You know you're doing that.
Nice Pinot Grigio or something.
We know you're doing that. We might have to have you do like the top 10 sports moments of your 20s. That would be a good thing.
You know,
you have to post that on your Facebook or do something. Or
yeah, we're going to have to put that up
out
on Facebook. So be looking out for that. I'm going to definitely do that one on Facebook. Check it out. I'm going to do, you know, the top 10 sports moments of my 20s. That'll be real interesting. You know, that's going back to 2000. So
that's right.
We'll see how that rocks. But yeah, we're going to rock that out on the Facebook page. So, again, you're on with the Real Sports Guys, Real Guys Talking Real Sports. If you want to call in at any point tonight, feel free to call in. We welcome you to the conversation. We welcome you to join us around the table. We like to keep this real, real informal. We like you to picture us sitting around at a card table playing cards, drinking a beer, you know, a couple of cigars on the table or something like that, but just really relaxing, you know, just really relaxing. Enjoying ourselves and talking sports like you would amongst your boys. This ain't your traditional sports radio where you get, you know, point, counterpoint. We just give you a straight opinion, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but we never going to stage anything. It's all real. So, again, if you want to call in, feel free to. That's 1-347-989-0844. And to get going with this show, we always like to start the show off with our funky editorial. That's where we take something going on in the sports world and kind of try and give you straight opinion on it, give you some perspective on it, something different, something that you might not hear on your everyday sports radio. You know, D and myself and our other counterpart, Ray, who is the third man in our three-man booth, who's not with us tonight, but he may join the show at some point. Shout out to Ray. If you're out there listening, man, we know life is life, and you got to handle your business out there. So, you know, hopefully Ray can steal a moment and join us around the table. But we got the funky editorial, and we like to get into that. And today we're going to get into it. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball. We're going to go to the NBA, show up with the NBA. Some big games over Christmas, man. Christmas Day was huge this year for the NBA. It was huge.
Yeah.
A lot going on, you know. Some prime time matchups. The Bulls Knicks, a great game. Orlando and Boston.
He though,
you know, your boy. We gonna get into that too. That's one thing we're gonna touch on. Turgaloo and the new look Orlando Magic. And then we had the big showdown, the prime time Heat versus Lakers. And you know, I got some stinging commentary from that showing for Laker fans. You know, I got no dog in this fight. You know, I beat up LeBron a lot, but at the end of the day, I got no dog in this fight. I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm not a Kobe fan. I'm not on either side. You know, I don't play either side of the force. You know, I'm just a neutral observer. We like the watchers. For all my comic book heads out there, we like the watchers. We just sit back. We don't fiddle. We don't dibble. We don't dabble. We don't meddle in nothing. We just sit back and watch and see how things play out and give you our opinion on it. So let's go ahead and get into the funky editorial real quick. When we do that, I'm going to let D kick it off. And I know he's got some tidbits that he observed and noticed over the weekend that he wants to share with everybody. So let's get into that.
One thing we need to say. Shall we say it, y'all? Melvin,
right.
Jimmy,
right.
Coleman, Ryan, sit.
Yeah.
Everybody want to get funky one more time.
All right, it's time for the funky editorial. And you know, I was thinking about this the other day, man. We should get like a Dior sponsorship. You know, we bring in the phone. We should get like Axe or somebody, you know, to sponsor this, or at least pretend like they sponsor it. Maybe we could just throw some in there. You know, this is the funky editorial brought to you by Axe deodorant spray and body spray. But go ahead and jump into it, D.
We will talk about this Heat Laker matchup. I definitely want to get to Orlando and Chicago, but there's some three things I kind of, as I was thinking about preparing for this. The first is low dog meter. Everybody knows out there, you know, you see my post, you see, you know, the dog meter as I defined it is, you know, where, you know, talent is intersected with intensity and creates great outcomes. And the great players perform at that high level where they're maximizing their talent. They're bringing just this cutthroat mentality. And the Lakers, to be champions, you know, you have a couple of statement games, and this was clearly a statement game for them, and they folded. They didn't come and perform at all. You know, it was like a bad concert. It was like when KC fell out on stage when it was KC and JoJo. It was like, you know, drinking too much stuff happened. And so that part, I observed that. And then the Bynum effect, you know, they're still you can tell that they still haven't quite figured out how to get him and how they're going to work that rotation. And then, you know, Ron, where art thou? Where the hell is Ron? Where are you? You know, Ron Artest, in the sense that, you know, we need more of him on a consistent basis. This is the kind of game where you need him to rough some stuff up a little bit more. You need him to do some things, and you just didn't see any of that on a consistent basis. And to be champions and just try to treat this as another game, it was clear that the Heat came out. And, you know, I think Spoelstra needs to get some credit. You know, people need to check this guy, young guy out. He's coaching. You know, even though Riley hasn't come out and said a lot in his defense, you know, he's just kind of been steady and, you know, had those guys ready to go, and the big three definitely came to play. But, you know, those three things are things that I just, you know, the competitive edge, you know, the Lakers look soft. They look like they weren't really playing. They didn't want to get physical. They let them showtime and dunk, and, you know, they didn't put nobody in the first row. That's the kind of stuff that you think Ron Artest would at least put somebody in the first row, you know, a little bit more on a regular basis. So those kind of things I wish I would have seen a little bit more out of the Lakers. And that's what Kobe's got to continue to get on his teammates. He did it after the game, but, you know, he's got to get them ready to play for a game like that.
Yeah. You know, leading up to that game, there was a lot that came out as far as commentary by the players talking about how it wasn't a big game or how it was being overhyped, this, that, and the other. And I think I think the Lakers played into that a little bit, trying to make it seem like, hey, the Heat are nothing to us. This is just another game. This isn't even on our radar, you know. And I think that was a bad approach to take. I think they should have came at it as this is a big game. No, it's not a measuring stick for us, but at the same time, this is a big game against a team that we may eventually face down the line. As in, all the big games against elite teams are big games. This is another one of those games where it is a big game, it is a big deal, and we take all of these games seriously. I think them taking a more nonchalant, like they're not on our level, kind of turning their nose up at the Heat in a way, I think that mentality played against them, because I think your assessment is right on. It didn't seem like that they brought any fight. It didn't seem like they had any energy. It didn't seem like anybody really brought an A game, you know. So it was kind of disheartening. And again, I think you're spot on with talking about the rotation. I think the rotation is a little bit out of whack right now. You know, I think Ron, I don't know what's up with Ron. Maybe he's a little too sane. You know, Maybe he need to miss a few shrink appointments. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Maybe he need to skip a couple of shrink appointments. Like I said, you need a little bit of crazy. You know, he's just a little too sane right now. Crazy Ron would have done something to somebody, you know, in that environment, in that moment. You know, it's kind of one of those things where he's like at times he can be somewhat like an animal out in the wild or something, where it's like you make a fast movement real quick and you don't know what kind of, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, you make a quick movement, he might bite you. Well, he's not biting right now. You know, and they don't have that toughness overall. And maybe they're just waiting for the players. Cause, I mean, they got their heads busted tonight by the Spurs. The Spurs laid into them. You know, the Spurs laid into them, beat them by about 22. And that's about their third straight game against legitimate, you know, contenders, top-level teams in the league where they've kind of laid eggs. So Laker fans out there, y'all need to be a little worried. You know, I feel like the Lakers are still, you know, in that elite velvet rope class with them and the Celtics, where they're in the VIP section as far as racing towards the title. But now that they keep playing like this, and maybe this is just one of those stretches during the season, and they'll get locked in later on, but they can't lose too much ground to Dallas and San Antonio, because then they're going to be operating without the home court advantage in the playoffs. And I don't care who you are, that plays a major part in who wins and loses a series, especially who wins and loses a game seven. So then from the Heat's perspective, the defense was awesome. You know, it wasn't so much what the Lakers didn't do as much as what the Heat made them do. I think it was about 60-40 what the Heat did, 40 what the Lakers didn't do. The Heat, I mean, they pressured them. They got out extended. I mean, they were just in everybody's face. They smothered the post players. The key is, how can they keep that up? Can they keep that up? Can that become their identity? Can they hang their hat on that? Can that become and be more ingrained in who they are as a basketball team? That'll be the test over the season. They've improved a lot. They still, in my opinion, don't look like a solid half-court team, and maybe that'll continue to come and develop. but I still don't see a championship this year. They look much better. They look way better than they did early in the season, but I still don't see a title because I still think in a one-game setting, they can run with anybody. In seven games, I think their roster is so limited. I think their roster is so limited that once a coach, a good coach, as most of the top-tier teams have, once a good coach sits down and they look at a Carlos Arroyo, they look at a Joel Anthony, you know, they even look at a Mike Miller or somebody like that. You know, they look at the supporting players and figure out what can this guy do, what can this guy do, what can this guy do, and how can we force them to have to do what they can't do. Over a seven-game series, that's what separates a team that advances from a team that goes fishing, is what can your supporting players do, because your stars are going to do what they do. You know, LeBron is going to do his thing. D-Wade is going to do his thing. Bosh, we'll see. But if your stars are going to do what they do, you know, and I had this conversation with my brother as we were talking, you know, we were talking about the Derek Fishers and the Robert Ories, you know, and the Bruce Bowens and those kind of guys who are like legendary role players, you know, and the Heat doesn't have anybody on that level where, you know, they have somebody who's made big shots. Even the Celtics with a young role player in Big Baby Davis, who's hit big shots for them, who's had big moments in the playoffs for them, they've always had a few guys. You know, in their first run, they had Posey. You know, you got to have one or two guys who aren't going to shrink in the moment. And maybe some of these guys are those kind of players. They just haven't had that opportunity. But I think, you know, that's where it's really going to boil down to. And that hasn't changed. The rest of their roster hasn't changed. LeBron and those guys are stepping it up, and they're playing better. As a trio, that trio is playing better, but the rest of those guys still have a lot of room to grow. And whether or not that growth happens, I don't know. So that was, you know, that's how I feel about the Heat Laker game. You know, it said a little bit about the Heat, said a lot of bad things about the Lakers, though.
And, you know, I think what was good about, you know, the Christmas Day game and looking at all these teams, you know, these matchups we saw, it gave you a sense of how people are trying to put together ingredients and are they going in the right direction and whether or not people need to put a little bit more pepper or paprika or something in there to spice it up. And when you look at, you know, Orlando, you know, for 3.5 quarters or so when I was watching them, I mean, they started out strong and then they went down and they came back, but they started to gel. That, you know, they threw a whole bunch of stuff out. They said, you know, they changed diets. You know, they said that they said, forget this, we're going to Mediterranean diet. We're going to do something different. And now it's beginning to come together a little bit. You know, you had a chance to kind of see the Knicks and the Bulls and some of that. And try to, you know, it just felt like there's an old-time matchup. You know, so you start to look at some of these games and you begin to see how these GMs, how these coaches, how these organizations are trying to set up for the run. I think at the end of the day, when the dust settled, even though they lost, you know, the Celtics without a Rondo still look like they got a lot of pieces and people got to pay attention. They got to see how their team is set up to go up against that. Because in the playoffs, it's going to be about defense. It's going to be can you get shots? Just what you said about making adjustments, because it's about making adjustments. And sometimes it's about can you get shots in that half court? Can you execute even when they know you're going to run that play?
Yeah, and that's where I feel the Heat are deficient.
That's right. You know, because that's where that loosey-goosey up and down, you don't see as much of that in the playoffs. You just don't see anybody going to just let you oop on them all day. You know, you ain't going to show time. Somebody end up in the first row, you're going to be in more half-court sets. You know, you'll be in probably 20%, you know, more half-court sets in a playoff game in terms of that. So can you get some of that stuff in that half-court? And that's where having that role, the role players like you're talking about, because those role players think they should be starters. You know what I'm saying? They're role players, but they walk, they swag. It's like, I'm a star. You know, they're like, I'm going to make the big shot. And all those guys you mentioned are those kind of players.
Yeah. And you know, in the heat, they like to get up and down the floor. And when people know that's what you do, they purposely game plan to stop it. You know, whereas when you have a half-court team, it's easy to slow a game down. But it's much more difficult to stop a team that executes well in the half court than it is to stop a team that just runs. Because if you limit turnovers and you slow down the pace, you can make it difficult for you can stop a running team, you know, by doing those two things right there. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the Heat continue to develop. They've taken some steps, they're continuing to get better. It'll be interesting to see how they keep going. And then you got on the other side of the coin, you got the Lakers who, you know, I don't know what's going on. Phil need to pull out some books. He need to sprinkle some Zen dust on them. Whatever he do to make his teams get there and get ready for the playoffs and get to a point where they're ready to play some good basketball, he needs to start doing that. One thing I wanted to move on to was the Orlando and Boston game you kind of touched on. I've been critical of the Orlando trade. You know what? I wouldn't say I'm critical, but I've said on numerous occasions, I love it and I hate it. I love that they had the balls to make a move. They had the cojones to go out there and make a move and do something instead of standing pat, which a lot of teams do, I think, to their detriment. They went out and they made a move, and it was a move to bring in more pop, more firepower, and they did that. They got Jay Rich. They got Gil. They brought back Hedo. You know, they gave up a lot. And the main piece that I feel like they shouldn't have gave up, you know, that they gave up was Gortat, because you just can't get smaller in this NBA. Size is the toughest thing to come by, and functional, good bigs who can play D and still do something on offense are hard to come by, and they gave one up. So that was my only drawback at the trade. But, again, I mean, if Dwight Howard can stay out of foul trouble, which is – I think the reason that they struggled so much against Boston is that he wasn't really a factor for very much of the game till the end, when he could be out there. And that's what his playoffs is going to be like. That's what, you know, the playoffs are going to be like for him. If they don't get another big, and they got some pieces to move, you know, I've heard Redick's name being put out there, who, again, I don't know if that's a guy you want to give up, because I think, you know, he's been there. He's been in the playoffs before. You know what you're going to get out of Redick. I'm not a fan of Dukies, and Redick is one of my most disliked Duke players ever, but he's actually turned himself into a decent ball player at the pro level, which I didn't think he'd be able to do. And, you know, I don't know if you want to give up that as an asset. You know, there's some names out there that I've heard floated around. They talking to the Bulls about getting Taj Gibson. They're talking to the Nets about getting Troy Murphy, who I think is probably the best fit, but he's got an $11 million contract. I don't know how they're going to swing that. But Troy Murphy will be a solid fit because he's a four. He's a legitimate four. He rebounds when he plays. He's even playing in New Jersey, which who knows what that's about. But when he plays, he rebounds. Throughout his career, he's rebounded well, and he's been able to shoot well from the perimeter, which I think are prerequisites to playing that Orlando offense is that you got to be able to stroke it, or if they got no use for you, given that, you know, they kind of play a four out, one in type sets. But Orlando looked like it's starting to come together. And, you know, I think once – we haven't seen what that team can really do yet, because I don't think we've seen Gil click. Like I said, once Gil starts clicking, it's going to be interesting. They're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be a whole lot of fun to watch because – when Gil gets going, all he needs is a stage. He's a performer, and all he needs is a stage. And I think, you know, right now he's just warming up. You know, this is sound check right now. He's just warming up, testing the mics, so that when they come playoff time, you know, we're gonna see what he can do.
Yeah, tonight he had 22 points. He had 6 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3 steals. You know, against the Cavs, but. So he's beginning to wake up a little bit. And I think you're right. I think he's the X factor because he's that one guy. Again, you were talking about, you know, he's not what you would define as a role player, but they're playing him off the bench. He's like Benny. He's like a modern-day Benny Johnson, you know. And so if he's the kind of guy that if he really fits into his role and gets excited about it, then there could be some problems. You can't really game plan for that. You could try, but he could put on his clown suit real quick and just start putting it on. And so that, I think you know, Orlando's not done. You know, they're going to move some people because they got some parts to move to get that size and get another body in there to bang a little bit. You know, so I'm excited about where they could go with that. You know, you're looking at what Chicago's doing. You know, even though they have a lot of size, they play much bigger. They get on the glass. They got guards who get down there and get rebounds and forwards. They just play tough.
And there are whispers that Chicago's looking at bringing OJ Mayo.
Oh, that's
which would be, in my opinion, that's a low risk, high reward move. I mean, you got a guy who's still on his rookie deal, who you could bring in, see what he could do for you. You know, if he is what he's supposed to be, and he's struggled this year, which is why he's even on the market. But you know, if they could put him in a situation where you know he can do his thing, that could be a hell of a get.
Yeah, he would really add some firepower. I mean, he plays a little all-around game. I mean, when he's on his game, he does a little bit of everything. And, you know, that fits into what Thibodeau wants as well. He's, you know, I don't know if you, did you watch Thibodeau, man, that Cavalier, he loses his mind on the
He do.
Hey, he just looks like he looked crazy. I'm like, look at what's wrong with you? Just losing his mind on the sideline. I was like, wow. So, yeah, I don't know how long that's going to go, but, man, I'm not seeing anybody losing his mind. But, yeah, I mean, they got a nice, solid little thing going on in Chicago. And I think, you know, and that's the thing about it. Who's going to make the moves? Who's going to try and make a run? Who's going to set themselves up, you know, not only for this year, for next year, you know, to solidify? Because a lot happened in this offseason. Yeah, but it's still tinkering. You know, who's going to make that little move to help them get over the top and be competitive? You know, that's the, you know, that's what you're going to see over the next few months. As teams start to set themselves for that final run.
I think this NBA, it boils down to management. I mean, it boils down to management because what you have is you have teams that can meet their payroll and are making money, and you have teams that aren't. And the teams that aren't still have some decent assets that if you can pull a Gasol trade right now this year, it could really put your team in a hell of a position. And for some of these top tier teams, you know, like a Chicago, like Orlando, Dallas, and San Antonio included, Oklahoma City, who are right there. You know, the right move gets you in a position to do some pretty good stuff down the stretch and into the playoffs. And this is where GMs are going to earn that money. So it's time to earn them six-figure checks.
That's right. You know, and we never know. You know, the commissioner, everybody might listen to LeBron talking about contraction. But he said, I didn't know what that was.
Hey, you know, LeBron was just looking around in the locker room feeling like he needed more help, so he was trying to figure out a way to get some more guys on that team. That's all.
Ooh, boy.
He already trying to figure out how to get some more help. You know how he do. That was just, you know, you need your LeBron translator out for something like that. That was just more whining. He's just whining for some more help. He was talking about, oh, man, if we got, you know, one day he's in the locker room, man, if the Timberwolves didn't exist, we could have Kevin Love on our team. Then we would win the championship. Then we would be real tight. Oh, man, if you got rid of the Nets, we could have Devin Harris and Brooke Lopez. How tight would that be, D-Wade? How tight would that be if we had them two to the team? Then we'd be really, we'd be for real the super team. We'd be like the Power Rangers or somebody, man. We have like five all-stars. That's what I'm talking about.
He's throwing his boy Jay-Z under the bus. It's like, Kevin Harris and Brooke Lopez. And he came back.
Man, I'm telling you, man. LeBron just needs to shut up. I mean, and then he come back talking about, I didn't even know what the word contraction means. Lord have mercy. Just say, just say I made a mistake. Like, that's not what I meant. Just say that's not what I don't say you don't know what the word means. Like, the man just has poor choice of words. you know, again, which makes me wonder what he'll do in a real crunch time situation.
He'd be getting baffled by reporters and shit, man.
Well, I think his point that he was trying to make in comparison to the 80s was a good point, you know, in terms of...
Oh, yeah, we made that point. You and I share that sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, but it just ain't going to happen because, as people have talked about, you know, just getting as many markets as you can, you know, that builds the brand, and folks are not going to contract. They're going to try and spread the wealth, so it's just how they're going to do it. So, but, yeah, all of these things add to your ability. You know, you never hear anything out of San Antonio. They got all kinds of craziness going on, you know, with the Les players, people's wives, divorces, everything else. And don't nobody talk anything about San Antonio. I mean, they got a soap opera going on down there, and they don't even end up in the news. I mean, that tells you, like, teams that just know how to just keep going, they don't even get caught up in all of it. It's like nobody says anything, you know. But then you got what's happening in Miami and other places end up on the front page all the time. You know, it's just, like you said, it's about management and organization. Championship organizations, Belichick, all these cats, you know, San Antonio, Utah, I mean, all kinds of crazy things happen in these places, and they just never say anything. And yeah, they talk about small markets, but in this day and age of YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and everything else, every market is a potential big market. So it is crazy that this keeps happening and how, you know, the ability for organizations to keep their teams focused on what matters is going to be what's most important.
And I had this conversation with my brother who's right now a Heat fan until they trade LeBron. He's a Heat fan. Put him on it.
Fire fans. They just changed jerseys.
Right. So he and I were talking, and he was like, you know, I was saying, you know, he kept bringing up Kobe, which Bron fans tend to do, and I was like, look, man, stop comparing a man with five rings to a man with zero. Let's not do that. Let's just not go there. All right, they're at two different points in their career, so stop comparing them because they're not the same guy. Then I did at the same place in the conversation of greats. LeBron's at the fetal embryo stages of whatever he's going to become. And, you know, Kobe is almost there, you know. But he was saying that organizations win championships and LeBron just moved to a better organization. And I question that. I question whether or not he actually moved to an organization, because I don't think we know. Because what I think the Heat have done is put themselves in a really tough situation because of the uncertainty of what the next CBA is going to look like. Because with the next CBA, LeBron and them are still going to get their money. But as far as the structure of what you can put around them, with the next CBA could be very different.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at a different landscape. And you got $100 million, you got $300 million tied up in the three guys. And so now this new CBA comes into effect. You don't know how it's going to affect your ability to bring in role players. You don't know what the structure is going to look like. You don't know how that's going to affect, you know, your ability to put in pieces around an already cap-strapped team. It could open things up, but then it could really restrict things. So whether or not the Heat are a good organization, we still don't know. And just looking at their track record, other than bringing in Shaq, the Heat as an organization ain't really done nothing. It's not like he went to, you know, not like he went to the Spurs or he went to the Mavericks or he went to the Lakers or the Celtics, a team that has a history of winning over the last 10 years or so. But he had 1 year where they made a run, when they got Shaq, they made some moves, but that was short-sighted, that was short-term, and they had no plan after that, which seems to sound a lot like what they did now. Short-sighted, short-term, what's the plan after this? You know, and you give up on Michael Beasley, who was still in the embryonic stages of his career, and then my brother started to get into, well, he's just putting up numbers on a bad team. I was like, I'm not even talking about his numbers. He looks like a better basketball player right now. You know, he looks like a better basketball player, and they weren't patient with that. Or Darrell Wright, who somehow just sprouted a game. You know what I mean? Somehow he just sprouted a game. I don't know where it came from, but he got game now. You know, and these guys are on the Heat's roster. And they were free agents. Well, and Beasley's still on his rookie contract. These guys are free agents. These guys are pretty cheap. You know, keep them. Now you got a supporting cast. You know, so I still question whether or not the Heat are a championship organization. Or is this the Cavs in a warmer climate?
Well, and look at how they've handled adversity in terms of, and really talking about, I mean, the organization's really Pat Riley, right? And, I mean, Pat Riley, I mean, I don't know if you heard anything, but Pat Riley with Spoelstra and everything else, been very quiet. I mean, it took somebody like Sloan to come out and say to his defense, another coach on the other side of the country to come out. So just kind of how they're managing this experience, you know, from the time how they brought him in with the big show and everything else, didn't tell you that, like, you would never see the Lakers doing. I mean, when they brought Shaq to L.A., I don't think they did all that, did they? They didn't have a little rap concert, little rap show. I don't know what, you know. And so even the big three went to Boston, they didn't have a lot of, you know, proper circumstances. They just kind of came in, they had a press conference and did all that. So championship organizations handle themselves in a certain way. And you're right. I think your assessment is right. I mean, if you really think about the success of the Heat, with Mourning, they did some things. You know, I know they had G Money down there, Rice down there. But, I mean, they've never, you know, they had that one blip, you know, and for that championship. But, yeah, there's nothing right now demonstrating that they can deliver on that. And you're assessing
right.
Cleveland or the South, that could be it. You know, and they are in a tough position because unless you can find a steal, you know, find a big man who you've done good scouting on, and he just outperforms his contract. I mean, that's what they're hoping for. You know,
yeah.
Find that talent. You know, find somebody who can outperform the contract, or you know, find a way to get somebody who can, you know, kind of do that. And that's gonna be a tough thing to do. So we'll see.
Yeah, my call has been, hey, go for Greg Oden. Go out there, get a Greg Oden. Go out there and get a hell. Even try and see if you can swing a Yao Ming.
Yep.
You know, see if you can swing a Yao Ming for cheap. See what he do. I mean, at the end of the day, what you got to lose? You ain't got much to lose. So that would be my approach. Would be, you know, I'm gonna go see if I can get Greg Oden on the cheap. I'm gonna go see if I can get a Yao Ming.
See if you can get Rasheed to come back on the cheap. See, you get somebody like that, you know, who just kind of crafty, you know, and he can space if you need him to get that three, but he's just crafty. He'll give you 15 minutes. I mean, yeah, they don't have to look at stuff like that.
Whether or not the Heat, we don't know what the Heat are at this point. We don't know what the Heat as an organization are, and the fact that, you know, they allow their players to have such rabbit ears and to get involved in these constant controversies, and they're small, pretty benign, dumb things, but you know, there's a cumulative effect that it can just wear on people. It can wear on a team. It can wear on your locker room. And again, you don't hear this coming out of San Antonio. You don't hear it coming out of Boston. You know, you just don't see this soap opera mentality where everything is a controversy. Everything is, you know. And that's possible leadership. They don't have that right now, and that's the big thing that I've said, and you've noted also, and Ray also has noted, that there isn't a leader in that locker room to be like, look, man, stop talking. Just shut up. They put a mic in your face, say what you need to say, and move on, man. Like, but you're giving them too much. They can only take what you give. You know, as they say on the real world, they can only show what you give them.
Right.
They can only talk about what you give them. They can only take out of context what you give them. If you don't give them nothing to take out of context, then you're fine. You're good.
I mean, you watch a Derek Jeter interview. There's a lot, nothing comes out of his mouth.
Sound like a speaking spell.
Like, what did he just say? He didn't say much? He didn't say nothing? But if you think about it, in the state of Florida, I mean, with this move for Orlando, I mean, there's an argument that from an organizational standpoint, I mean, Orlando has, you know, been pretty consistent at a high level. You know, do they outrank Orlando? You know, that's an argument you can make. I think we're going to learn a lot down the stretch when we look at these teams. I mean, I had a chance to see Oklahoma City and what they got going, and Durant is just, you know, a beast, a straight up beast. You know, one of the things I want to talk about at some point is about, you know, rookie of the year. I was listening to a show earlier. Skip Bayless.
Let's get into that now. Let's go ahead and transition into that now, because that's something I wanted to kind of touch on too. So why don't you go ahead and jump into that?
Yeah, I was listening, and as Marcus always says, you know, we're pure sports fans. So, you know, we listen to other shows, we listen to some of the national shows, and you know, we listen to a lot of stuff because that's just what we do. As a real sports guy, that's what you do. And so, they were on a First Take, and Skip Bayless was with Broussard talking about Blake Griffin, and he basically was trying to make a case for Griffin being overrated.
Yep.
And as he was talking,
that's his motive operandi.
That's just the way he works. But sometimes
that's just what he do.
Even for him, he got to stop and say, "I don't even want to go down this road." I mean, the Cavs averaged, 23 points, then, 11 rebounds as a rookie. I mean, only two other people who have averaged that much. That was Shaq and David Robinson in the history as rookies. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And so he tried to blame, you know, the woes. But, I mean, Blake Griffin, I mean, he kind of like, because he got hurt, he kind of like one of them he went on prep school cat.
Yeah.
he did extra year trying to work on his academics. But so it's kind of weird to have him as a rookie. It's kind of unfair. Well, they showed that one dunk he had on the Knicks.
He dunked the Mozgov. Over the Russian.
Oh, the Russian, definitely dunked over. Oh, my goodness. That boy. Isn't that nice?
He had to highlight every night. We're gonna have to do a little Blake Griffin homage on the Facebook page, man. We're just gonna have to put up a bunch of some of these highlights, man. For y'all that ain't seen this, man. If you ain't had a reason to watch the NBA yet this year, man, this kid is it. I mean, just to watch him do what he does at that size. You know, LeBron is a freak. Blake is a freak, too. They cut from the same cloth as far as physical freakiness, man. I mean, Blake Griffin, he had one dunk in that same Knicks game where he took it from half court, went at Gallinari, spinned off of him, spunked off of him, spinned it, hit the B button, and then just yammed it. It was nasty.
Yeah.
It was just nasty.
Yeah, it's video game-ish. The kid is just, you know, and it's like you tell people on the court, like, they look at it, try to be, because they don't want to end up, you know, they call it the poster child. they don't want to end up, you know, because you're looking around for him, trying to make sure you know where he is. Of course, you don't want to end up on Sports Center.
I've been watching Avatar a lot, man. I've been watching Avatar. Avatar's been on cable, man. And he reminds me of that big ass dragon bird, man. You know, the one they call the last shadow, where it's like, oh shit, man. And you just see a shadow coming from behind you. He just throw the ball, and he's like, golly, man, here it comes. This is it, last shadow I see.
Can't be anything nice. But are you thinking about, as you think of rookies, who are some of your rookies?
Rookies, you know, I really like Blake. Landry Fields has been solid. Knicks. When John Wall plays, and quiet is kept, I think Washington giving up what they gave up in this getting involved in this whole Magic Phoenix swapping of players. I thought it was a nice move for them to pick up Rashard Lewis. And move Gilbert.
Yeah.
As much as I like Gilbert, and I like his game, and I like his feistiness and his attitude. I think they're in the same situation that Philly is in with Evan Turner, where they have a guy who is exactly, if not exactly, damn near the same game DNA as the guy that they just brought in as their number one pick. You know, Evan Turner and Andre Iguodala are damn near the same player. And so how do you play these two guys together? And then you got John Wall and Arenas, who I wouldn't say they're the same player by any means, but I think Gilbert's style is not what needs to be, doesn't mesh with what John Wall brings to the table right now. And I actually think if Wall ever gets healthy, if he gets healthy soon enough with the pieces that they got in Washington, and they got a decent coach in Flip Saunders, like they could make a push for that eighth seed in the East, which is still very much up for grabs for any of those teams that are out, that, you know, any of those bottom feeder teams could push and get back into it, but Washington just needs to get healthy. You know, with McGee and Blatch and Lewis and Heinrich as a solid, you know, backup, Nick Young is playing well, and John Wall comes back and he plays the way he was playing before he got hurt. You know, I like their chances. I like their chances. Let's see, other rookies. You know, I thought DeMarcus Cousins was going to do more, and he's getting better, but he got a little too much knucklehead in his game. You know, and that's pretty much, I mean, those guys are pretty much it. A lot of this year's class is a lot of wait and see cats, you know, like Derek Favors. You know, he's not doing very much yet. You got guys like Greg Monroe who are starting to get time, who are earning time. Evan Turner, still a wait and see. So it'll, you know, other than Blake, you know, Landry Fields and John Wall, I don't really see a lot of guys grabbing a lot of tick out of this class right now. And I don't even know if you want to count Blake in this class, you know. So,
yeah,
hopefully,
yeah,
you know, somebody steps up. Go ahead.
What you said about, I think it's between Wall and probably Blake to make that push. And yeah, I mean, if John Wall gets back healthy, I mean, they can make a run. You know, this would be good for that organization to, if they got the eighth seed, you know, for them, that would be, you know, a good developmental move. The next step would be good for John Wall to have a playoff appearance and know what it tastes like being a playoff situation. And in the idea of clearing out Gilbert and bringing someone like Lewis, who's a spot-up shooter, you know, open the floor up, can post if you need him to post. You know, a lot of ball to be in John's hands without the need to have to feed someone like Gilbert all the time. So, I mean, they've done some good things. So, I mean, he can make a run that second half if he comes in and he gets healthy with it. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where the NBA is going to go, man. I think, you know, it's vibrant, it's strong, you know, it's in good shape, you know, we can see where it's going to go. I think, you know, depending on how these labor talks go, but, you know.
See, that's what worries me. That's what worries me, because I don't know if you remember, the last strike was around, what, the turn of the decade, right?
Yeah.
The last strike was about 10 years ago,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the league had several, they had it infused in a lot of young talent. They had the AIs and Vince Carters and all those guys that coming to the league. Were coming into the league at that time. Then they had the lockout. And after the lockout, like, you had like three or four dud draft classes.
Yeah.
Where you had like three or four draft classes where they just didn't give you nothing very much as far as star power. Then you got the D-Wade, LeBron, Bosh class, and then talent has just been coming into the league.
Yeah.
And is that faucet going to turn off for the next couple of years? Because I've been watching some college basketball, and I just don't see nobody out there right now, man. You know, they were talking about the Harrison Barnes kid at North Carolina, but he obviously is a little overwhelmed by all of the expectations that have been placed on him right now. There doesn't seem to be a John Wall in this group, or even, you know, an Evan Turner or DeMarcus Cousins, who still have potential, but, you know, they're not showing a whole lot their rookie year. And then you got some injuries to some key guys. You got Brandon Roy, which I think I need to go check the tape, but I think one of us touched on, I don't know if it was me or you, but I recall a conversation about this whole Brandon Roy thing last year during the playoffs when he came back and played on that bad knee like 2 weeks after having surgery.
Yep.
And we were all like, bad move.
Yep.
We like, bad move. Like, you mismanaging this dude. You got him playing these minutes in a meaningless playoff series when you're not championship ready right now, and you got your franchise player out here in game six of the second round of the playoffs, ruining his career. Hindsight 2020, but I think we called it at the time.
Well, we might have to go back and get the tape and replay that conversation with people because we had a lot of good stuff like that. And even, I mean, when we talked about picking teams, I believe I was talking about, you know, that was my, how I was reluctant in terms of how I was going to rank the Trailblazers because,
yeah,
there was nothing there that told you that they could continue to stay healthy. They had a good strong foundation, and you know, it's a shame because, you know, Nate McMillan I think is a great coach, and just getting bit by the bug. You know, that's what I feel sorry for.
Man, I'm telling you, if I'm running that organization, I go in there to the training staff and I just pink slip everybody all at once. Like, I mean. Because something's in the water, it's something in the air.
So back in
is it the curse of the Dale Blazers? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but back in the 80s, they were smoking that crazy stuff over there. All of it was the shoes, and then before that with, you know, Duckworth and all them. You know, they was out there.
For real.
The
curse of Kevin Pritchard. I don't know what it is, man, but they went from being a hot young team to, like, I don't even know where that organization is going right now, man. Like, they don't have a franchise player right now because Brandon Roy, I think he's done being a franchise player because his knees just aren't going to allow him to do it. They don't have a franchise player. They're not in a position to get a franchise player. You know, the two guys that they were counting on both got bad knees.
I can say this, though. I watched Aldridge together last weekend. I mean, he looked good.
Aldridge is good, but Aldridge is best as a 2 or 3. Best as a 2 or 3. He's not even a 1A. He's a 2 or 3 at this point. Who knows what he can develop into, but at this point, he's a 2 or 3. And, you know, that's not going to cut it. You know, he needs to be a piece. He's not the main cog. He's a piece. And I think they're just rudderless right now in Portland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got,
now here's a question I want to throw at you. You think Kevin Love gets an All-Star vote this year with what he's doing? We talked about Blake Griffin. I think both of them should be All-Stars. I really do.
Yeah.
I think the All-Star game will be better for having a minute.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Love's putting up monster numbers as well. And, I mean, the rebounding and the scoring, and I mean, I think he should be considered for All-Star. I mean, it's going to be so tough because, you know, in the West, you got a lot of talent out there. But
yeah, especially at power forward. You got Duncan, you got Dirk. They're both going to get spots. And then after that, I don't know how they play the power forward spot out there. It's good that Amari's gone because he's taking the third spot. But, you know, there's the whole putting up numbers on a bad team debate, and I don't give a damn. If you're putting up those numbers, where you getting 20 and 15, and you shooting like 45% from the field, 44% from three, 89% from the line, and dropping 3 or 4 dimes a night, sorry. You still playing in the NBA.
Yeah,
you're on a bad team, but you're still in the league. You know, the other team, the teams you playing against, ain't letting you just get numbers. I mean,
but if you're on a bad team, if you're on a bad team, it also means you don't have a lot of options. That means that it's even more so they're targeting you. So you got to overcome even more to produce because if you're on a bad team, that means you don't have a lot of options. B, C, and D probably doesn't exist. So I mean he's doing his thing, man, and he's doing the hardest thing. He's rebounding. And he's not rebounding. He's rebounding like Rodman rebounded without being a specialist. He still has to score.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got.
Yeah, this is just what he does.
He's in screen and rolls. He's doing all that stuff. So he's away from the hoop a lot. He's still rebounding like that. So you got to put him in there.
He has to be, man.
Yeah.
It'd be a damn shame if he didn't make it, man. Because, again, like, if he was getting 20 and 10 on a bad team, okay. I could see overlooking that. But 22 and 15? I'm sorry, man. Like, those are just unbelievable last numbers.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's doing some stuff that's historic. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's a great season. He's having a great year.
Yeah.
He's having a great year. And I agree with you. The NBA is in good shape. I hope they don't F it up with this lockout, you know, because greed can do that to people. Can make them make
well, what I was commenting, because I think back then we weren't in the kind of recession we're in now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these leagues are really about the PR as well. And when you got a lot of people out of jobs and a lot of stuff like that, you don't want to really be in a heated millionaires and billionaires having a dispute when we have an economic time like we're having now. It's not the kind of thing you want to have too much. You don't want to have too many conversations like that. You know, you want to limit it. You want to take your jobs, have a week worth of battles, and you want to settle it. You don't want to, because it could be worse this time around when you have fans who many of them are. They're hoping that their job isn't gone the next day. So I just think the climate is going to force some of these labor negotiations to go on a different route. Because they know they're in the middle of a public, you know. And maybe that means the players lose out more, because usually players lose out on these PR battles. They just lose out, you know. But
You know, thinking about these PR battles, and I was thinking about this the other day, and thinking about the whole labor situation with both the NFL and the NBA, and just how even though times are hard for a lot of people, you know, college football just made a ton of money this year. Ticket sales were up for Big Ten schools. Big Ten schools made out like bandits this year. And the NFL, they started off slow, but the NFL is the NFL. They're still making money. A lot of these NBA teams are doing okay. They're doing well enough. And so, like, how much of that is it really a is there really a backlash that will come for the fans, or will people come out and come see sporting events? This is another situation me and my brothers were talking about. We were talking about how could people, you know, one perspective that was shared was how can people prioritize sports over, you know, other more pressing needs? And my thing, my perspective was that, you know, sometimes, you know, it could be several things. It could be, you know, these pack of tickets have been in my family for, you know, three generations, and I want to keep it that way. So I'm on set aside this little money, even though times are hard, I'm going to set aside this little money to make sure we keep our Packer tickets. Because when this passes, you know, this is a part of our family, it's a part of who we are as a family. I want to keep this intact. I don't want this to go away because we're on hard times right now. Or, you know, we're having hard times, but I don't want my kid to have to miss out on being able to go to a Badger game, or to be able to go and see the Bulls, you know, or to be able to go to a Bear game. I don't want my child to miss out on that because we're having this hard times. I still want them to have a childhood, you know. And so that was the perspective I shared with them, is that, you know, some people may be making a sacrifice and choosing to take a chunk of their money and put it towards supporting a sports team, or, you know, getting some season tickets to maintain some level of normalcy, you know, when
yeah.
you have these kind of hard times. And then also, it may be the one thing that's keeping some cat from hauling off and hitting his old lady or putting his hands on his kids, because, you know, he just need that release. And yelling at the TV and yelling at the refs, or going to the game and yelling at the refs and screaming and tailgating, that's a release for him. That's therapy. You know, that's as good as going to a shrink for some people. You know, and it may sound weird, it may sound sad, but for some people, that's all they need. You know, like me, I need to go work out. I need to go lift weights. You know, I need that. I need to go play some ball. I need to go bump bodies with somebody. I need to go throw some elbows. I need to get pushed around. You know what I mean? I need to do that to level myself out, to center myself. You know what I mean? So that I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm a better dad. And some people need that, you know? And so with that, the roundabout way of talking about this issue, but with that, you just get to thinking, how much are fans really going to run away? I think
I think the people that get hurt, burned the most by lockouts is the networks. Because now the networks who have paid all this money for these TV deals to broadcast these games don't have games to broadcast. And I think they lead the charge as far as the backlash when you got an ESPN, which has a pretty much monopoly on the flow of sports information, you know, that has NBA games, that has these NFL games. I think they lead the charge as far as backlash because baseball teams do fine. People still go to the ballparks. Fans still go to the ballparks. But if you talk to, if you listen to the media, they'll make you seem like the baseball has suffered because of the lockout. And, you know, yeah, the home run, steroid era helped bring people back to the ballpark when people came back.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. My financial planner a few years ago said, you know, people go after their wants before their needs. He said people plan their vacation before they plan their finances. And so most people, and I think it's back on what you're saying, is most people they go for what they want and they need, particularly in difficult times like this. I think it's even more important is their escape. Those are many reasons why people might make decisions to place investment in entertainment. It's why, you know, a friend of mine owns a bar. He said he does his best business sometimes in these times because people want to get a release. They get away. They want to sit around other people and they want to have a good time and get away from what's happening in their day-to-day. And so I think the sports provides that for that. And where I think the people – so I this is where I agree that networks take it back. The owners don't because most of these owners have multiple businesses. They can hold up. They can hold out longer than they – and they got the money. You know, they get the TV money. They're holding on to that. The players are usually in the worst position because fans see players like their employees. Right, and I'm an employee, but you're an employee that gets paid millions of dollars. I barely keep my job, or I got buddies who've been laid off, and you're complaining about the fact that you're making millions of dollars, and half my friends don't have a job. So the players are in a worse position because fans put them in the same category as them in terms of, you know, deep down, I think you already overpaid to play a game that I would pay for nothing, and so. The players get put in the worst position from that perspective, and that's why it's hard for them to win the PR battle. But yeah, the networks are part of this, you know, are part of this machine, and they are shaping the conversation. They're raising the topics that they're pointing people into certain areas of a conversation because they get to choose what they're going to cover on Outside the Lines. They get to choose what they're going to cover on SportsCenter. They get to choose what they're going to cover on all these different things. To help how they're going to tell the story about the labor situation. So yeah, everybody is in on this, you know. But the fans, you know, if you take away our joy if it's a short period of time, they'll come back. But if it's a long holdout, people could really get angry in the way that they got about baseball. And so I think that's where people have to be. Particularly football, you got the golden goose right now. Don't mess it up.
Yeah, don't cut the head off the goose.
No,
You know, don't do that.
Up.
Right now, y'all the Teflon League. Y'all got all types of arrests and robberies and batteries and all types of crazy stuff going on with these players. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Well, one thing I want to transition real quick. Again, any listeners out there, you're on with the Real Sports Guys. Real Guys Talk Real Sports, feel free to give us a call. The number is 1-347-989-0844. We're going to get into our usual conversation about pimps and hoes, also known as college football. So we welcome you to jump in with this conversation. We got the bowl season coming up, so we're going to touch on the bowls. But before we get into the bowls and start to talk about the games, we want to talk about the games outside the games. And I was joking with my wife earlier, and I was talking about I don't understand why they wait like a month to play these damn bowl games because all that happens is cats just get into a bunch of dumbass trouble. I mean, hey, we got a prime example with the Ohio State cats who the four prominent key Ohio State players have just done some dumb stuff.
Now, I don't know the whole situation, and a lot of details haven't come out as to why they were doing what they were doing. Some of it was to get some to get discounts on tattoos. There's some speculation that one of the players, Terrell Pryor in particular, his family had some financial struggles. And to me, with all of that going down and the fact that they're being suspended for 5 games next year and not missing out on the bowl, man, all I can say is they've been pimping since been pimping since been pimping. It is what it is, man. What's your take on this whole situation? I'm gonna share my take in a moment, but I want you to share yours with the people first.
Well, I just had a conversation with my brother-in-law about this, and I said, actually, this is the time. You wish these young cats understood their power and their positioning, because this is actually a time where they could backlash. What if these cats decided they didn't want to play in the bowl game? They'd like to get this. Because if you think about it, someone like Terrell Pryor, he misses 5 games next year. I mean, is he in a better situation than he is now in terms of a pro prospect? He don't have enough games to really show. I mean, his team might be at a national championship competition, consideration. He's in a real precarious position because he didn't have a great year. But, he's still seen as a decent prospect. For him, he could be like, look, unless y'all, President G, unless you, somebody step up and address this, how can it, y'all give me something? It's my personal stuff. And y'all tell me what to do with it. In his mind, he could really hold this hostage. It'd be something else for them to wake up and, like, we ain't playing. We ain't playing.
That would be a true revolutionary moment. I would actually stand up and applaud anybody, especially a prominent player at Ohio State or Michigan or Oklahoma or Texas or USC or Alabama or someplace like that to do that. That'd be a truly revolutionary act.
Yeah. Because my thing is, I'm wondering, and I might be wrong, but could Jim Tressel sell his? They got
to. If he wanted to.
If Jim Tressel sold
his. You know he could. At the end of the day, he could. Why? Because Jim Tressel is not. Jim Tressel could go do a car commercial if he wanted to. Jim Tressel could do a Nike commercial if you wanted to and get paid for it. So, yeah, if you wanted to sell his Big Ten championship ring, he could do that. If you wanted to sell a Coach of the Year award, he could do that. He could do that, but the players can't do that.
This is my thing about it is, first of all, when I heard, when I started getting people learning, they get all these gifts. I'm like, why are they giving these kids gifts anyway? Like, why are they giving them, PSP or why? I mean, they give them all these crazy gifts. I'm like, why are we giving these kids gifts anyway? Like, y'all already talk about the focus on amateurism and all this stuff. Why are we giving these kids all these gifts when they go to the bowl game? Like, why are they coming back with, all this boatload of toys? Like, who started that? Who started that?
I have no clue, but my brother loved it.
I was like, he did. I mean, in that... Leroy Horde and all these cats, I grew up in, all these guys just come back and they had all this stuff. Why? And I'm trying to figure out, it was good enough that y'all got to go to Southern California and play in the Rose Bowl. That should be good enough. You should be coming back and get a T-shirt. Why are you coming back with, jewelry? And it's like, it ceased to amaze me, man. But if these guys did that, that would be a seminal moment. Because the reason why they're letting them play is because they don't want that brand to take a hit on a very prominent day.
$17 million on the line. $17 million on the line. Would you rather them miss some? And that's the thing of it too. They're missing the first 5 games of next year, which are all non-conference games.
Yep.
So would you rather them miss the Youngstown State game, or would you rather them miss the Sugar Bowl or whatever bowl they're in this year? I think for any college president, that's a pretty easy decision to make. They can miss the Youngstown State game because we can still win that without them. The double-edged sword to this, in my take on it, it's a double-edged blade. On one hand, you know, I'm a big proponent of in some way compensating these young men. Everybody else is getting paid. Let them get paid too. But then on the other side, I'm looking at these cats like tattoos. How immature can you get? Like, how immature can you get? Like, some tattoos? For real? It was that serious? And then I'm looking at Terrell Pryor. You're supposed to be the QB. You're supposed to be the decision maker. You're supposed to be the leader. And, again, I don't know what his family situation. With him, I'm hearing, like, different stuff about his family situation and everything. I haven't heard anything clear. So I'm just going off what's out there. If this brother was truly trying to help his family, more power to him. But if he was doing anything other than trying to help his mama make the rent, keep the lights on, keep the stove going, he just, in my opinion, he ruined his opportunities as a pro prospect. And this is why.
And that part, I'm with you on that one, Mark.
This is why, because of what he gave away. You gave away your Big Ten championship ring. You gave away individual awards that were given to you for team accomplishments, okay? To me, as a GM, says you don't got to make up of a winner. You don't got to make up of a winner. If you gave that up for tattoos, for discounts on tattoos, you value tattoos more than the accomplishments and the hard work that you put in to becoming the athlete that you are. If a tattoo is more important than that to you and you're willing to give away these symbols of that hard work, again, if you're trying to help mama and them keep the lights on, I'm down for that. You do what you need to do. You do what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? But if you did this over some frivolousness, some childishness, some triflingness, I question how much you enjoy the sports that you play and how much you have a passion for what you do. Because I still rock my leather jacket on occasion. Why? Because I earned that bad boy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to give that away for something as privileged as a tattoo or something of that nature, especially, you know, if it's something of prestige, and I'm at the Ohio State University, or I'm at Kentucky or in basketball, or I'm at, you know, Duke in basketball. I'm not going to give away an award that was given to me by my university for an accomplishment that I made that was connected to something that I did or some hard work that I put into or some hard work that my teammates put in away for some tattoos or a discount on some clothes or whatever the situation was. To me, that just says you don't care about what you do. And to me, for a guy in his situation who has a whole lot to prove to pro scouts, who possibly has a position change on the horizon, it doesn't speak to a guy to me who's going to do the extra work it needs to take to master a new position in a couple of years at the pro level. This doesn't look like a guy who, if he stays as a quarterback, is going to do the necessary work to be able to digest the NFL playbook and to be able to do the behind the scenes work it takes to be a Pro Bowl caliber elite level quarterback. And on top of that, you got a guy in Cam Newton who looks like what you were supposed to be and what you should be. So now you have somebody who they can compare you to and say, yeah, you got some nice gifts, but he figured it out. What's wrong with you? And so for Terrell Pryor, in my opinion, again, I don't know all the details, and they're being kind of tight-lipped about the whole situation. But whatever his reasoning was for doing what he did, again, unless it was to help mama them, unless he was trying to help out mama them, I don't know. I think he hurt himself a hell of a whole lot for a project who's going to have to change positions. If I'm a GM, he's not getting my money.
Now, anytime I hear people giving away rings, I'm always, because I'm more sentimental. My daughter said I'm a pack rat. So
But I just hold on to that stuff. And so that always makes me cringe. But for the very fact that you said why you keep the ring and why Biggie, he got the right to sell the ring. And see, and that's what you're hitting on is who he is as a business, what he cherishes, and what and where he puts his priorities, given that, you know, you're about 18 months away, even less than that, from getting some kind of check, because you can get an advance from your agent. So he's really 12 months, 13 months away from beginning to take some money anyway. So if you can hold on for 12 months, you're in the money. And those five games, like I said at the beginning, is five games he needs back. He needs those five games to raise his stock. But those are the reasons that you weigh why you wouldn't give up your letter jacket, because you tell you why he had the right to give it, because he earned that ring. So if I earn that ring, it's my ring. You gave it to me. Now, I'm not making a bad choice about going to do it for a tattoo or not, but you gave me that ring. It's in my possession. So if it's my ring, I can do what I want to do with it. And that's the part where there's a lot of fuzzy. And yeah, they sign the waivers, they sign all that stuff. But if we're going to give kids all these things, you know, they come back with baskets of stuff, ball games. And you expect them to hold on to all of it and not use it, leverage it to make money, to do what they need to do to earn a little extra money. I mean, you create that situation because they like, this is my stuff. You gave it to me. I'm wearing it. So that's the kind of stuff I think, you know, again, it's what happens when the system starts to break down. It's what happens when the system is built on false principles anyway, when the whole bowl situation is built on a corporate structure, really about it's a bill about revenue generating, whether it's for the institution or it's for the branding institution that's sponsoring the bowl. Everybody involved is generating resources. That's why this thing ain't changed. And to have these kids get this stuff, and it's their stuff, it's their possession, if you gave it to them. Like, if I give you stuff, Marcus, people re-gift stuff all the time. They had an article out there about people re-gifting. People re-gift stuff all the time. They re-gift and give it to somebody else. They do that stuff. They put it on eBay. They do all this stuff all the time. And then these young fellas do this, and they in the wrong. But because we created it. We sent them home with baskets of goods from the beginning. We gave them stuff that you don't need to be giving no kids when they go to bowl games. It's enough to be on a plane going to Southern California. It's enough to be on a plane going to hang out in Florida. It's enough to just be on the trip. You get treated like a king out there anyway. You eat as much as you want to. You stay in a nice hotel. You there's pageantry all around you. It's enough. You ain't got to come back with a basket of goods. So that whole system is messed up from the beginning, and it creates this. If I was these kids, I'd be like, I ain't playing.
I'm done.
I ain't playing.
I'm done. I'm not playing. You go out there and play yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to hit this draft real quick. And I'll take my chance. I'll go second, third round. You know, hey, get on a nice squad and learn my way up. I start making money now. You know, so it's an interesting thing. But I think all the things you say from a GM perspective, I think is very important because that's the decision-making thing. But we don't know. We don't know for him. You know, the tattoo stuff is, you know, people, kids need to wait on all that stuff. You're right on that. But if it's something about family, it's like, man, you know, we got to build that tight, things that tight. Parents in a tight situation, then the ring is gone.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. If it's about helping mom and them keep the lights on, keep the heat on, you do what you got to do.
You know, in black families, it might not just be mom and them. It might be aunt mama. It might be grandma.
That's why I said mom and them. That's why I said mom and them. Them could be a lot of people. That's why I said mom and them. There could be a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? I don't assume on nobody's situation. You know what I'm saying? It could be grandma. It could be auntie. It could be uncle. It could be cousins. You know, hey, mom and them could be a lot of things. You know, that's an ambiguous term. You know, mama's involved though. And when
that's
mama's
right,
involved,
that's right.
Son got to do what he got to do.
Because mama's probably coordinating that. Like, baby,
right.
You know, Aunt Bessie got that bad hip, and her rent is due.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's all
I'm not saying I'm not asking you to do anything, but if you can help, that would be great. You know what I'm saying? We took collection at the church, and you know, we came up with about $30, and we need $640. So if you can help, that would be great, baby. I'm not asking you to say you have to do anything, but if you could help, that would be great.
That's
you hit it right on the head.
I just want to make sure, you know, with some of our listeners, you know, may be suburban in nature.
yeah, you know, you suburbanites don't know about that. Y'all don't know what mama them mean. You know, we hipping y'all right now. Y'all on a cultural excursion. You know, y'all venturing into some different territory. But that's what you get when you on with the real sports guys.
Right.
See what I'm saying? That's what you get when you come here. You ain't gonna get that from Kyle Hurd. You ain't gonna get that from Russillo and Van Pelt. You can only get that here.
Yeah.
You can only get a conversation about mama them on a real sports guy.
That's right. If Kyle Hurd try to tell you why John Wall will be a great player because he know how to dance. We try to get a little deeper than that. We're going to take you into the behind the scenes, you know, into the
If you really want to know, if you really want to know whether or not that's going to affect John Wall, you come listen to this show. You want to know whether or not having a father is going to affect John Wall, you come listen to this show. We give you some better insight than them cash, man. They just won't. They talking out of their ass. But if you do want to come on and join our conversation, 1-347-989-0844. Feel free to call in. We love to hear from you. Love for you to pull up a chair to the table, light a cigar, pour you a little something, and have you pontificate on, you know, philosophically, whack poetically with us about sports. We love you to do that. So, again, feel free to call in, 1-347-989-0844. The next thing we want to get into is bowl season, baby. You know, pimping. And nothing is more pimpish than a bowl. Why, I don't know, but bowls is all about pimping. This is like the players' ball. That's what this is. The bowls is like the players' ball. All the pimps came from far and wide. Wearing afros and bells, flipping the gangster ride. You feel me? Koi Outkast. Best hip hop group ever. at least in my humble opinion. I know you come from the older school and you might say DMC or EPMD or PE. But my generation is Cash, man. It's Cash. Can't mess with Outkast. Looking at these bowls. You know, we got a lot going on in between now and the next time we are on air with you all. So we want to try and get into as much as we can with these bowls real quick. I want to do this rapid fire, D, because we got about 7 minutes and we still ain't – 7 minutes before we got a half hour left and we still ain't talked NFL. We know that takes up a good chunk of time and we got a lot to get to with the NFL. So let's do this rapid fire. So I'm going to give you the bowl. You give me your winner. I give you my winner. And we'll just go back and forth that way. You dig?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Oklahoma State, Arizona.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I got to go Oklahoma State, too. I like the quarterback at Arizona, but I got to go OK State. Let's see. We got Nebraska and Washington.
Well, Nebraska already stumped them once.
In the Bridgeport Education Holiday Bowl. I know she likes these bowl titles.
I'm a fan of names. You got to give the name, man. You got to give the name when we're doing this. Nebraska.
And I got to go to Nebraska too. Like I've expressed this before on air. I don't trust Jake Locker. I'm going to Nebraska. The Hyundai Sun Bowl. Notre Dame versus Miami, the U.
The Catholic versus the convicts revisit. We talk about what's my guy's name? Notre Dame. I have to go with Notre Dame.
I'm gonna go with the U.
I think the U seem like they in transition. They got a lot going on. People mad at the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I'm going with DU, but I'm going. Actually, I know why I'm going with DU. I hate Notre Dame. I wish ill upon Notre Dame. So I'm going with DU. Let's see. We got in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. We got Georgia at 6-6. What happened, Georgia? Going up against number 25 at 10-3, the University of Central Florida? Are you kidding me? I'm going to go UCF, man. I'm going UCF. I think this is a big for them. This is a program maker if they can be the SEC team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Central Florida as well.
Yeah, they've been in the mix a few times, but this could be a big blow for their program if they can take out UG.
And I want to say this quickly. All you people, and I know the SEC has done well in the championship game. Everybody talks about this Big Ten SEC matchup. Look at the record. Big Ten has a winning record against the SEC. Ohio State blows that out because they've had so many high, visible losses to SEC teams. But historically, Big Ten is outperforming the SEC. I just want to make sure people understand that. If you don't believe me, Google it, look it up. Come back, get on the show, argue with me, but you know, don't get too crazy with that. You might see a trend here.
Yeah, don't get cute. Don't get cute. We don't do cute at the table. You get slapped at. The Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Oh my God.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl. What's a chick? Is it a bowl? At any point, did somebody bring out a bowl for like breast, chicken breast?
I don't know. It did some.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl. We got number 20, South Carolina versus 23, Florida State. The Seminoles. I'm going to go with the Seminoles.
I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Burrier versus Florida State. I like the Latimer kid at running back in South Carolina. This is a tough one.
South Carolina.
I'm going to go with South Carolina. I'm going to go with South Carolina. The ACC is kind of suspect in football.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in.
Florida State will go 1 year away. Florida State will be good next year.
Yeah. We got the Rose Bowl presented by we'll get into that one in a minute. Let's see what else we got here. We got the Outback Bowl, Florida, Penn State.
I'm going with Florida on this one. Even after what I just said, I just think Joe Pa's. Well, I'm gonna go with Penn State.
You going to Penn State? I'm going with Florida, and the reason being, I think they got a lot to play. I think Florida's gonna be inspired to play.
I'm going Florida on that one.
For that reason, young men are very moved by such things. And in case you didn't know, college football is played by 18 and 22-year-olds. And so they can be swayed emotionally, and that can uplift them and you know, take them to places they've never been before athletically. Then we got now we get into the big bowl. We get into the big bowls now. Why in the hell is the Cotton Bowl being played on January 7th? That is not a big bowl. I'm sorry. That just kind of threw me off for a second, man. I apologize, listeners. You know, I just saw that, and I'm like, why are they playing a game between number 11 team and number 17 team on January 7th? Go back to playing our
Are we going to do Michigan State?
Yeah, we're going to do Michigan State, Alabama. Go ahead. Shoot, Capital One Bowl.
This is gonna be an upset. I'm going to Michigan State.
Woo! Yeah. I'm gonna ride with you on that one though.
It's another one. I'm going Michigan State.
Ooh. I'm gonna go Bama. Roll Tide. we got the Progressive Gator Bowl, Michigan versus Mississippi State.
I would say this goes interesting because this story has been so crazy since Rodriguez has been here. I'm going with Michigan on this one because it's going to create a different twist. I think they're going to have a really good game, but he's going to get fired anyway, and they bring in Harbaugh. I heard it here.
For those of you who are just listening for the first time, we broke news a couple weeks ago that Rich Rod was on his way out. We broke that. If it happens, real sports guys, we need our credit. We ain't playing.
That's right. You hear Cowherd and all these other guys starting to say it now. But we broke it about 2 weeks before that. So
yeah.
Don't get caught up.
Yeah, we've been on that. D-Wills has been on that one. So you know, don't try to steal our shine. We called that one first. We got the inside connects, you know. We had to connect to the Greeks and everything. We sat down with the Greeks. They gave us the info. You know, we had to lay it down for you. That's what you get. Real sports, guys. Sports land. All right.
Yeah.
We got the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. UConn versus Oklahoma. Oh, one thing I didn't get my pick for. I'm going with Mississippi State because I think they're going to bring Renardo Sidney to the game and he's going to slap some people around. All right. So Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, UConn. This is not the women's hoops team versus number 7 Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Michigan beat UConn. Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm going Oklahoma. They should bring the ladies. They might have a better shot. Then we got the Discover Orange Bowl. You know, and that's going to be Stanford and Virginia Tech.
I'm going with Stanford, too.
I'm going to go with Stanford also. We're going to keep going. We got a caller coming in on the line, so I'm going to let this caller come in and give us a little bit. Who we got on the line with?
What's going on, Real Sports Guys?
Mo, how you doing? My birthday, brother.
What's going on? That's right. Birthday brother from another mother. How you
guys? Yes, sir. We're doing real good. Right now we're in the middle of going through our predictions for the upcoming bowls. So what we want you to do is we want you to weigh in. We're going rapid fire because we're trying to get into our NFL talk. If you have time, we would love for you to stay on for that too.
I'm listening to you guys go through the talks. Yeah, talk about the bowl games. Yeah, that Cotton Bowl on January 7th. Where did that come from? Yeah.
Exactly. Like, for real. What's the deal?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
It's the proliferation of the game. You got the same thing. You got on the 8th, you got Pittsburgh against Kentucky. I mean, come on now.
Hey, who the hell are they? That's a good basketball game. That's not a good football game.
I feel you on that one. Yeah, I feel for sure.
So I think we both going Stanford on Discover Orange Bowl. Who you got in the Orange Bowl, Stanford or VTech?
I think I had Stanford on that one as well. I think they got, Andrew Luck, a little firepower, and I think Virginia Tech's a solid team, but nothing outstanding.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. We got the All-State Sugar Bowl. Man, I feel like I should be getting paid for plugging all these companies, man. We got the All-State Sugar Bowl, Ohio State versus Arkansas. Fellas.
I'm gonna go with Ohio State because them five players are gonna play like their last game because it's probably gonna be their last game, so they're gonna try to pull out, it's Pryor's best chance to put on a showcase. He's going up against Mallett, you know, it's gonna be his opportunity to show that he to NFL scouts and he's about to ride off into the sunset.
Mo, who you got in that one?
I think I'm looking at Arkansas for this one. I say that's got too many distractions right now. Ohio State play Wisconsin. It's not impressive to Terrell Pryor. He played well in the bowl game last year, but I think Arkansas's quarterback is very, very talented. I think that Ohio State's offense, I think, is not that talented. So I'm going to go with Arkansas on that one.
Ooh, man. I'm going to go Ohio State. I think these are 18, 22-year-olds. And right now, I think they have the biggest incentive to go out there and show something. And, you know, I think Trestle's going to have them in the right mind state to do that. And for me, that's what it boils down to. I think this one boils down to coaching. I'm going to go with Trestle over. Hey, who? I don't even know who that Arkansas. I'm not even going to share my mind.
Petrino.
The escape artist. So yeah, we got that one. Then we got the Cotton Bowl, LSU and Texas A&M. I'm going to go ahead and jump on this one. I'm going to go, Lord, this has been an off year for LSU in my opinion. Well, LSU has been solid. A&M has been decent in my opinion. I'm going LSU, SEC. I'm going with the SEC over the Big 12 in this one. That's pretty much what it boils down to for me.
I'll let you go, Mo.
I think I'm going to go Big 12 on this one. You know, A&M has some big victories this year. LSU was kind of living by the prayer there for a while, but now with some very close games they should have lost. So I think, you know, all these games are really tough, I think, in terms of just the layoffs. It's kind of hard to tell how many teams are going to, you know, deal with the layoff. But I'm going with A&M in that game.
Okay. Yeah, this
he
is
will. What do you got?
This is at the Cotton Bowl, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's going to be a home game for them.
That's going to be a home game. Maybe this is where A&M comes back on. They get back on it. I'm going with A&M. This is where they get back on. They get that, what they call it, Wrecking Crew, what they call themselves back in the day?
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew.
This is where they come back on.
Okay.
It's the prize.
So now here's one of these last two games are probably, in my opinion, the best matchups of the bowl season. You got TCU, Wisconsin, and the Rose Bowl games presented by Vizio. Again, I should get some type of payment for saying it like that. But we got Wisconsin and TCU. Mo, who you got?
You know, this is a tough one. It's a tough one. You know, I think it's going to be a battle of wills. You know, can Wisconsin impose their will in the game and influence it right away? I just got a bad feeling about this for Bucky. I know Devon's going to be, you as well, going to be upset about this, but I think TCU speed, I think they get up, you know, I think they get up early on them. You know, I don't think Wisconsin can get into a shootout with them, so I think, you know, it's going to be a higher scoring game that Wisconsin can deal with, and I'm taking TCU on this one.
Teach me how to Bucky. Teach me how to Bucky. I would tell you that run game, Bielema is taking a different approach to this season. He's straight playing like Switzer used to play. Run up the score. He just, for some reason, something clicked after they beat Miami last year. You know, they had a little bump and roll with Michigan State, but the focus, like, we're going to be a different program. And I think this is going to be a culminating experience. I think some of them going out there, and they got three running backs who are all producing. I mean, that offensive line is pushing folks. They'll be healthy by the time they get out there. You know, in terms of players on offense, some of those guys who've been hurt. So I'm going with Bucky.
Yeah, I'm going with Bucky too. I hear what you're saying about TCU speed, but I think they're too small up front. And the speed only matters when you're going east and west. When you get to going north and south, I don't care how fast you is. When them road graders get to moving, get your little ass out the way. The small ass TCU lineman gonna be in trouble. When that Wisconsin line get to moving, so I'm going with UW too. I think they could run on a couple pro teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, like you said, I think Wisconsin's defense is not really great this year, and you know a lot of teams put up a lot of points on them, and so that's why I think it's going to be a higher scoring game, and I think that doesn't play into Bucky's hands. So, but yeah, it can go both ways, I think. But yeah, that's what I'm kind of leaning towards right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think J.J. Watt might put up one of them MVP type performances out there. You know, he just won was that the Lott Award or whatever that might have been. I mean, he's
Yeah, he's putting up some big numbers. It's gonna be,
here's some breaking news. Here's some breaking news from around the way. I hear he's bucking. I hear he's bucking Bucky, and he may be he may declare. You heard that here first.
Oh yeah,
well, he nowhere else. You heard that here first.
Yeah, he's put up a big year. It's time
word on State Street,
though. Word on State Street, he got home.
So okay. He said, I'm leaving the campus and taking my talents to State Street. we got Auburn against Oregon in the big one. Oregon is video game fast. I mean, like, all creative players fast. I mean, like, you got a bunch of 99 speeds out there. With Oregon, man. But Auburn is, they got Cam. I mean, they got the one-man wrecking crew. Who you got?
Man, I still don't know what I want to pick up. I don't have a good feel for this game at all. I'm going to say.
Yeah, me neither.
Cam is stood up. You know, you always got the Heisman Trophy jinx. But Cam, given what he's been through this fall, whether he did it or not, it's kind of like the O.J. trial. Just some people just think he did it and doesn't come out until after the fact, until after he was acquitted. I still believe he did it. You know, whether he did it or not, he held up and he just played big. And I just think this is another moment for him. I'm going to go with Auburn. And given everything I said about the SEC, I'm going to say,
go ahead, Mo. Who you got?
Third chance in a row.
Yeah, you know, I wish they had like a little bit more time. We were just talking about this on our show the other day about the game in terms of just laying it out. You know, I think I look at it as comparing it to the USC and Texas game a few years ago, where I think it's going to be kind of a very close game throughout. Oregon's defense, is a question mark. You know, Oregon has some questions in offense, either against tough defenses as well. I think Auburn's got some playmakers on the defensive line that could disrupt things, but it definitely has the speed. But I look at it, in terms of bowl games are kind of like the NCAA, basketball, kind of like point guards win. I think quarterbacks make the difference in these kind of games. And I just see that Cam has just got, it's going to be a close game in the fourth quarter. I think that, the best quarterback's going to win. And I think Cam is the best quarterback, and he's proved it this year. They've had a lot more closer games where they had to come back and play with adversity. Oregon's been up a lot, and they've had some close games, but I think that they've had a cakewalk more times than not. And I think just playing the SEC conference and playing a tough conference all year, I think it's going to have to pull out. So I'm taking Auburn in this game, but it'll be a close game.
Damn, Mo, who you work for? You just sold me on that. I'm going Auburn. Who are you working for?
it's
been back and forth with me, man. Like, one day I'm feeling like, man, Oregon's gonna run all over them. Then the next day I'm like, but I think Cam, that dude is so poised. But yeah, the points you made about the SEC and how it's a grind, and you go undefeated in that conference. You know, however me and D-May feel about the SEC in comparison to the Big Ten, it's a grind every week. Just as the Big Ten is a grind every weekend. If you go undefeated in that conference and you have the mental fortitude not to slip up, I think that says a lot about your team and how mentally tough you are. And in championship games, sometimes that's what it comes down to is mental toughness, and that's that hair that needs to be split when you have two great teams on the field together. So
yeah, and I want to make myself clear about the SEC. I believe they're a great conference. I think the only exception I've made is the comparison to the Big Ten has been built a lot on Ohio State's performance. But we look at head-to-head over the last 10, over a lifetime, but even over the last 10, 15 years. That's what I was trying to say. The whole perception of the Big Ten, SEC, it's all been built on Ohio State because they've had so many public falling, beat downs on their own and then when the dust clears, people forget that, they got beat down, but then Michigan beat Florida. They forget that the Big Ten won all those other games, and so
right.
That's the only thing I'm saying. And the only time you ever really get to judge the conferences is really in the bowl season, because that's the only time they play head to head. So that was I want to make that clear to all SEC. It's a tough conference, but I think when people judge Big Ten, SEC, they base it on Ohio State's performance in a big game, which they haven't played well. So I just play it like that.
All right. So now we're going to move into our NFL talk. The most important league in the world, as we like to call it here at The Real Sports Guys. Again, if you want to get on and join us, 1-347-989-0844. Feel free to call in. We'd love to have you around the table. Mo, you going to hang around with us for our NFL talk?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Excellent, excellent. So the Pro Bowl was announced today. The Pro Bowl starters, Pro Bowl rosters, rather, were announced today. Have each of you had an opportunity to check those out yet?
Yeah, I sent that out earlier.
I just got a little bit of the news of it, so yeah, let's start.
Yeah, for the listeners out there, I'll run through it real quick. On the AFC offense, we got Tom Brady from New England, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning. Running backs, we have Maurice Jones-Drew, Arian Foster, Jamal Charles. Fullback, Bonte Leach. Wide receivers, Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne, Brandon Lloyd, Dwayne Bowe. Tight ends, we got Antonio Gates and Mercedes Lewis. I'm not going to go through the offensive line. There's some good players on there. Notables, Joe Thomas, former Badger. Marquise Pouncey from the Steelers, the rookie, making a Pro Bowl. Good pickup there. On the defense, I'll just hit some notables. Richard Seymour as an interior lineman. We got Ray Lewis starting. Revis and Asamoah, Polamalu, Ed Reed. In the NFC, Vic, Michael Turner starting back. Matt Ryan makes a Pro Bowl. Calvin Johnson makes the Pro Bowl. Who else? Any surprises? Julius Peppers. All that money Chicago gave him was obviously worth it. He gets to start. And Ndamukong Suh, the first of probably a 10-year run of Pro Bowls, I think, for Ndamukong, barring injury, of course. Urlacher sneaks in. Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, and then Devin Hester, the walking kick return touchdown. As far as teams, Baltimore had 5 selections in the AFC, only to be topped by New England with 6. In the NFC, the Falcons led the way with 7 selections, followed by a tie between the Eagles with 5, the Packers with 5, and guess who? The Dallas Cowboys with 5 Pro Bowlers on that weekend.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Pro Bowl impressions. Pro Bowl impressions. What you guys got?
Well, Dallas with 5 tells me that's some craziness. But you're kind of impressive. I mean, you look at the AFC starting running backs. Would you have predicted those would be the starting running backs? I mean, that's
no, absolutely not. No, I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, possibly.
Yeah.
But Arian Foster was the afterthought.
And Jamal
Charles. Along with Jamal Charles, yeah.
That just tells you where we are in the transition we are in.
I mean, no Chris Johnson. Man, I know he messed up a few fantasy football teams this year. Not that he even had a bad year.
Yeah.
At the same, he didn't have a bad year. He just he wasn't CJ2K.
Well, yeah, the bar set so high for himself, he kind of set himself up almost. If he didn't have 2,000 yards, it's gonna be a failure. So,
and when you talk about Sue, and this is what my argument about the Heisman. I mean, he was the most dominant player in college football last year. I mean, and look at this guy. He's a Pro Bowler as a rookie. And like you said, he's probably going to go on a 10-year run. And that's a tough position to play where he's playing, down in the trenches. There's some impressive folks in here. I was happy to see Patrick Willis, somebody from the 49ers, get a sniff because they had a miserable year. But Clay Matthews, I mean, this is a guy you could make some arguments about MVP. And he's he walked on the USC. I mean, he comes from good stock, but, this is a guy that's just putting the work in. So
you know, it's, this is a good, this is a good list.
Yeah, I don't have very much problem with it at all.
Yeah, some guys, yeah,
sure,
like every year you have to get some of the same guys who get on there. You kind of wonder if it's not kind of just a popularity contest. Like, I know Ed Reed, you know, has been a great player, but I know he was hurt for part of the year, so I'm not sure what kind of numbers he actually had this year, but I know he was out for a while. You know, Urlacher, I know, made in Chicago, you know, decent year, but, you know, again, I'm not sure if it was, you know, if he was the best, if he's better than Patrick Willis had this year, and some other guys who probably, you know, some guys maybe have lesser names. So it's always interesting that, you know, who kind of, who was the popularity contest of some of these things. You can say guys stay on a couple of years too late, and then some guys get in like a couple of years after they should have. So it's always interesting how it washes out.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I was surprised. So, I was surprised at the tight end from Patriots. Wait, what, he got like 10 touchdowns?
Which one of the young cats?
Yeah, was it Gronkowski?
Gronkowski.
Yeah. Gronkowski, yeah.
You know, I was surprised Mercedes Lewis made it. He was a former first-round pick. And, you know, he had a lot of talent, but he had never quite put it together. So it was interesting to see him get picked. I still don't know what to quite make of it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's not too many arguments on this. I mean, there's some. I think Mo made about Ed Reed. I mean, there's a couple guys who were hurt. And like Dwight Freeney. Dwight Freeney hasn't had a great year, but he made it. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, there's some other folks who probably could have been there at the defensive end. I mean, the Colts defense hasn't looked great. I'm not sure how many sacks. But I don't think Dwight has a lot of sacks. And looking at some of the other things, so there's a couple people here who are, you know, they're here on their star power, but I don't have huge problems with the list.
Yeah, Freeney has 9 sacks this year. So I mean, that's not an astronomical number by any means.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, those are the Pro Bowl rosters. It's great to talk about and debate them, but honestly, the Pro Bowl is a pretty useless game. nobody watches the Pro Bowl. I've never watched the Pro Bowl, and that's actually the type of thing that I would love to watch. But football just doesn't football just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. You just can't throw a bunch of dudes together and have a good football game. So. What I do want to talk about is the playoff picture is starting to clear up slightly, and I just say slightly. The Vikings did beat the Eagles tonight, so that's one shoe that has dropped. So right now the playoff picture looks like this. Chicago's in with a bye. Atlanta's in. New Orleans is in. Philly is in. So basically, there are 2 spots that are still up for question in the NFC. That's the NFC West championship winner, last man standing competition, whatever you want to call it. Somebody's got to win. Right now, St. Louis is at 7-8. Seattle's at 6-9, and they play each other next week. The winner gets in. So that one's still up for grabs. And then Green Bay, the New York Giants, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all sit at 9-6. If Green Bay wins, they're in. If Green Bay and the Giants lose, Tampa Bay's in. If they win, if Green Bay and Tampa lose and the Giants win, they're in. It'll be interesting to see what the Bears do next week because the Bears and the Packers play. And the Bears with a bye, they could say, you know what, let's just take – we're going to play a half of football, and then we're going to take the rest of this week off, get healthy, use these 2 weeks to kind of get our guys right so that when we do host that game and in that divisional playoff round game, we're going to be good. We're going to be good. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be ready to go. Or do they really – if this is really a rivalry between the Bears and the Packers, the Bears try to kick the Packers' ass so that they can't make the playoffs. If this is really a rivalry.
Yeah, if it's a rivalry, you got to take them out. You got to take them out. And I think another thing is these guys are creatures of habit. And I think one of the mistakes people have made in recent years is
not, it's taking people out of their routine, setting them, not playing all the way through, kind of doing it. And, you know, I don't know the stats of sitting people versus playing them, but, you know, having played sports, you know, being in routine is very important. And, but, you know, when it's, there's an opportunity to send a message. And the Bears, I don't think they're clicky enough. They're not the kind of team that can turn it off and turn it on. They need to be getting those reps. They need to be making sure that Cutler is getting in rhythm, having positive plays. So, I mean, I think you go after him and, you know, go for the
judges. I disagree with you there. I just, you know, if they got the number two spots locked up now, you know, even though it's Green Bay, there's nothing to be gained by it. Only thing that happens is bad things. You know, it's like just that law of diminishing returns. So there's nothing, only thing coming to that game is bad things, you know. You know, somebody gets hurt, somebody tweaks something. You know, you maybe strap the guys, play them a quarter or something like that. But, you know, Green Bay, you know, kind of let the chips fall if they made with them. But, you know, I heard people talk about the integrity of the game and that kind of stuff. And, you know, the Colts for years, you know, they had a reputation of, you know, locking things up and kind of shutting things down early. But, yeah, I just think that at some point, you know, there's something to be gained from it, you know, just for, you know.
And
pride,
I would say that,
you know,
and they lost the first round. They lost the first round.
But still, I still think if someone happens, somebody gets hurt, you know, they're going to be lynching them. If somebody, if Jay Cutler gets hurt in that game, you know, and from that game, you know, they'll be getting lynched for that. So I think they, not to be gained by it, then, you know, they should, you know, maybe play them a quarter or something like that, but not go too hard out on it.
But my thing, you talk about Peyton Manning versus Jay Cutler, who needs reps.
Have you seen the Bears backup quarterback?
I don't want to know who he is. Tell you the truth, at this point, you know, I don't want to know who he is. If you look at it, I'm looking at it like this. Jay Cutler, it's like he can't take time away. He's got to keep playing. He's got to put his foot on the pedal because he's not Peyton Manning.
More
traffic.
I should say that better.
Yeah, I mean, they got to put the reps in. I mean, they got to at least put three quarters in. If they only put a quarter in, I mean, they've got to have success. They got to come in on a high note. If they don't, they're not that dominant to kind of take a week off. That to me would be a big mistake. That they'd lose in the first round. That's what I would think. But you know, and I think the Colts learned from that last year. They lost rhythm. I think the momentum is very important. So that would be that's the biggest thing I think football players play. How many times have people got hurt? I hear that all the time. I don't know too many examples.
Well, I guess I would say also the other side. So yeah, the Bears I think, you know, are not that dominant team that they got to have all their players healthy to play. So you rest up your guys, get them healthy and ready to play, so that you have all your bullets in the gun when it does come to the playoffs, as opposed to risking somebody getting hurt, you know, like Peppers or Urlacher, somebody like that getting hurt in that game. And you say, well, you know, if you get somebody get hurt in that game, it's like, well, you know, why?
Well, don't they still have a slim chance for number one seed? Am I missing
something? The Panthers,
yeah,
are
I think
beat
there's
Atlanta.
A real slim chance. Let me see.
They don't
because if Atlanta loses and New Orleans wins, New Orleans' conference record will be 9-2 and the Bears are 8-3. So even if they win, they'll be 9-3. So I don't think they have very much of a shot.
Yeah, New Orleans.
So New Orleans the Bears would have to win, and New Orleans and Atlanta would have to lose. Then the Bears would have the better conference record.
Because if Green Bay gets in, they might see Green Bay again, right?
Who's that?
If Green Bay wins next week, right, wouldn't they be in?
Yeah, if Green Bay wins, they're in. Green Bay is in control. If they win, they're in.
Yeah. They might
we got about the little British lady is telling me we got about 30 seconds left, fellas. So I'm going to ask y'all for y'all parting shots. I'm going to ask y'all for y'all parting shots real quick. Go ahead, Mo. Give us what you got while you're on.
Well, you guys
know when you can hear you.
You guys got to come to us on the Hallmark Skinny and Mo show. We're on Wednesday nights,
10 o'clock Central Time, Blog Talk Radio as well. So you guys got to check us out on there and can join us on one of these nights. And we got to get some talk going between our three shows.
Absolutely.
That's
Devon,
right.
What you got?
Yeah, Mo, thanks for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it. Yeah, we'll get on your show and hang out a little bit. What I want to tell you is, Lovey, don't listen to him. Don't go out there. Green Bay going to come back and get you in the first round, and I'm going to be on the show. Mo, I'm going to get on your show and say, I told y'all so. Stump them out. Eat them down.
All right, that's enough for the show tonight. Thank you for listening. Real Sports Guys Radio. Come check us out Tuesdays, 10 to 12. We be here. We be at the table. You can come in and join us anytime. All right, take care. All right, fellas, we off.
Yeah. I know that's
the for me it's a conundrum too. Like do you break routine or do you let guys keep going and do what they do? And keep them in their flow, you know, because football is it is easy to get hurt.
I mean, if you think about it, the Colts have lost a lot in early rounds. I mean, they've lost the Steelers came in and beat them. San Diego's come in and beat them. Teams like San Diego have lost. I mean, I've seen because if you end up with a bye. So now you're taking this week off plus next week off. I just think, you know, these cats are creatures of habit. I think you at least play hard through three quarters, then maybe take time off. But I watched Indianapolis last year, and I was like, man, they messed up. I could tell they're messing up. You could see the rhythm. It didn't look good, and it cost them because they got out of their routine. So like, that's the big thing you gotta look at. And I still haven't seen anybody get hurt. That's the one. I have it. Maybe people don't want to be the first.
So you think everybody's running from the boogeyman?
They running facing the ghost, man. You know.
Yeah. I think this time of year, though, you want to have the guys healthy, you know, and say, you know, have that time off, you know, makes a big difference. And a lot of guys, you know, look at the Packers this year. They had a lot of injuries this year, too. So it's like, you know, teams that haven't hurt or hobbling, looking at the Eagles tonight, Mike Vick, you know. They could have used that time off. So now Vic looked like he was like the old man out there at the end of the game, hobbling around and limping around. So they're going to be some, you know, that Tuesday night game actually may have hurt him because they got to come back and play again. And they're going to have the first round of the game. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays off the Eagles.
Quick turnaround. I think that creates an unfair advantage or disadvantage for them to put them at a very much.
Yeah, they're gonna play three games in 12 days. So I mean, yeah. So whoever they pull in that first round playoff game, they're gonna be hurt.
Yeah.
It's gonna be. To see how this unfolds and how people treat it. I mean, the Packers are not a team you want to see in the playoffs. If you got a chance to knock them out of your, not play them, you don't want to see them again. If you don't have. That's a team you don't want.
Exactly.
And I think people did that with the Jets. Jets went last year. I was like, Jets, that team you want to see in the playoffs. Everybody's kind of eased up and let them kind of get in. I'm like, okay, it's going to come back to haunt you. You know, that's not the kind of team you want to see in the playoffs. You can put your foot on their neck.
That's the playoffs, though. Everybody's going to be good when you get the playoffs.
They're going to be no cakewalk.
Yeah, but. Yeah, but there's
some
teams you don't
want to
see.
Except for the West.
I was going to say, if I had a choice, I'd rather see the Rams, though, or whoever comes out of there. If I had to choose, I'm sure the Eagles are like, damn it. We should have dodged this bullet.
Yeah, because I'm sure, I'm like, you must rather have the Packers come to Soldier Field and upset the Chicago. I'm going to be like, see, I told y'all. Yeah, can't put them out of their misery.
Well, there's no guarantee if you play everybody, they're gonna win either, though. So it's not like they were.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a cakewalk or something. Yeah.
Now you play football as a creature of habit. I never believe in taking no time off. We all can play. We know how to play. People know how to take care of themselves on the field. I'm like, y'all need to come on out there. Y'all grown men, dominate.
the way you beat them, I'm like, hey, I get up by 20, we come out. Earn that time out. We ain't doing nothing sloppy. We ain't going to look sloppy. Because that's the thing about the Bears, they ain't got a lot of room for any sloppiness. They can't get no bad routines. They ain't that, they ain't not that good. They not the Indianapolis Colts. They had not proven they could be routine guys. But y'all go ahead, because I know what my Steelers going to do. Ooh, whoa.
Yeah, that's that conundrum. Who are they playing? Who are the Steelers playing this week?
Who the Steelers got this week?
I think you might be surprised.
They got
their spot locked up. I bet Big Man has been playing the whole game.
But the Steelers are different. See, I can say this. The Steelers are different than Chicago.
The difference is still the concept, though, whether you should play or not. That's all that matters.
I think they should play. I think they need to get a rhythm. I mean, only for, I might set out certain players, like Polamalu. I probably wouldn't play him. Let him get healthy. We can win. We should be able to beat them without Polamalu. I might do something like that. But everybody else, strap it up. We got to be in a rhythm, you know. You know, I might set out, the Bears might, they should set some players out.
On key players like Cutler and some of those guys, you know, with those guys.
I wouldn't set Cutler out, because Cutler needs as much reps as he can get.
Cutler,
I'd be like, everybody else just did out.
The guy just came off a 4-touchdown game.
He won play away from 4 interceptions.
Dave 6 inches away from 4 picks.
Bo, do you trust him?
You gotta go with him. I say you wanna save your bullets. You wanna put your bullets off before too late.
You wanna find out them bullets ain't really bullets. They're plastic bullets.
That's like buying drinks for the girls at 8 o'clock for the party to get started. Why you gonna buy drinks that early?
I don't know what it is. Every time I see a team do that, I'm like, ooh, you. They need to do some stats on that. There's got to be someone doing something like that. Elias, what do they call it? Elias Sports Bureau or whatever.
Yeah, Elias.
Somebody's got to have stats on that, man. What's the record when people sit out like that? Like, do they actually perform better?
Yeah.
I think someone's got to do the stats on that.
This year, the NFL, though, you know, it's going to be, I mean, I think this is, you know, it's a coin toss. It's all these teams, you know, look great 1 week, the next week they look kind of suspect, you know. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard to, I don't think the favorites are going to win. I don't think Atlanta and New England are going to win the Super Bowl. I just kind of get that feeling. This is kind of one of those years, things are kind of going crazy.
Yeah. And my thing, I usually judge at whether or not I do that process in terms of how much what kind of team do I have? Do I have a veteran team? I can do that. Or is this team still a developmental stage? They're learning how to win.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how probably how I would evaluate teams, about how I would handle it. If you're a developing team, we're still learning how to win, then we've got to play three and a half quarters, because we're still learning how to win. If I'm somebody who's been to the AFC Championship 3 years in a row, I got guys who kind of know what to do, then I'm probably going to give them, I'm going to have a little bit lenient on them. Because they know what the routine is, you know, they know how to win, we can do that. But if I'm still learning how to win, I guess that's how you have to judge it in my mind. Are you learning how to win, or do you got people who are in your key positions who can keep this team focused? I'd be interested to see across these groups how they decide to do it after watching what happened to Indianapolis last year when they kind of dialed it down. It was hard for them to get back up. So it's going to be interesting to see how people handle this. We have to talk about it. Well, we might come to your show and talk about this.
Yeah, you can come on over and check us out sometime. Yeah, we'll definitely come on. Yeah, so we're not going tomorrow because we just took a break off at the holidays. Some people travel around and stuff, so we'll be back on after that, so after the new year.
But yeah, we went through the whole college thing and everything too. So we went last week to the college thing. So it was like really hard that last week. I was like, man, it's like so far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing picks, and we kind of got a little keep track for our picks. So we picked like three football games a week, and so we kind of got our little competition going on to see who's doing better at picks and that kind of stuff. So yeah, we've been having fun with it.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. But fellas, I gotta get going. I gotta get up early tomorrow. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. But Mo, I appreciate the call, man. Appreciate you calling in, man.
No problem, man. Good to talk to you. Hope you have a good birthday, man.
Thanks, ain't you, bro.
All right. Hey, Marcus, I'll give you a call.
All right, cool.
All right, later.
All right, bye.
Bye.